Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right. Defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. You have lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. We won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand out against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
I'm an Englishman. I'm from Bermondsey, southeast London. My father was called George. He was also from Bermondsey. His father, another Bermondsey man, was called George too. And his father, my great-grandfather, was from the same place. He was called Edward. These three generations of my family were in the fish trade. I'm the first member of my family not to work at the market in Billingsgate. My great-grandfather had 11 brothers and sisters. They all married, except one. They had 43 children. Of these, 37 married. And between them, they had a further 159 children. One of those was my father. I don't know exactly how many of his generation married or exactly how many children they produced. I've so far trapped over 200 of them. Many still live in Bermondsey. Some are still in the fish trade. There are 7 called George and 5 called Victoria. I stand here in front of you as a representative of all of them. And I ask in their name the great question put by our patron, Mr. Powell. What do they know of England, who only England know? Or, what can my family, who come from England, who lived in England, who know only England, say of this, our country? Mr. Powell once spoke of the destruction of ancient Athens and the miraculous survival in the blackened ruins of that city of the sacred olive tree, the symbol of Greece, their country. And he also spoke of us, the English, at the heart of a vanished empire, seeming to find within ourselves, like one of our own oak trees, the sap rising from our ancient roots. And he said, perhaps after all, we who have inhabited this island fortress for an unbroken 1,000 years, brought up, as he said, within the sound of English birdsong, under the English oak, in the English meadow, beneath the red cross of St. George, it is us who know most of England. And I appreciated him for saying that, because it was as if he spoke for my family, who understand well their own country, who understand even better their own capital, London Town, as we used to call her. As we strolled in her parks, as we marveled at her palaces, as we did business in the city, went west for a dance, took a boat on the river. The pale ale and eel pie of old London. The London of my family, for as many generations as I know. The London that within 15 years would be less than 50% white. London where in 15 years a white person will be in the minority. Am I racist? No. Do I have anything against people of other races? No. Would I prevent them from coming into my home? No. So what then is my gripe? My gripe. And I speak on behalf of 7 men called George and 5 women called Victoria. My gripe is quite simple. My gripe is that we were never asked. My gripe is that we were told, not asked. And every day we are told again and again how we are to be and how our country is to be. We're told by them, and we know who they are. They're English too. They're the class that has always set themselves apart. They're the class that has always taken whatever they wanted for themselves. And now they are the class that is giving England away. They have never asked us. And they never will. Do we allow them to sell our heritage? Or is it time for us to speak? To refuse them the right to give away our holy, our bountiful, our only England that has nurtured us naked, grown us as the oak. Is it time for us that England know to come yet again and defend our country with our fire, our fists? Is it time for our sons to rise again? Say yes!
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. This afternoon, I'm with two executive producers this afternoon with me. I've got Charlie, my executive parrot wingman, and I've got Blue, my other little parrot, is my wingman, my right side. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, my goodness me, we are down to the last day of sleeping time for most of our foot soldiers and angels and our supporters, because we got a lot of people. As I say, this time, what I'll do is in a second, I want to read out the song. As I say, today, I'm flying with my two executive producers with me this afternoon on the English Defence League radio show. So they are a little bit chatty in the background. You must excuse them. It's just that their fame, you know, they goes to their heads a little bit, these little birds are, you know. And if you do hear an occasional swear word from Charlie, that's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with me whatsoever. I might have my own swearing adventure later on during the show. But anyway, this is... This is the English Defence League radio show, the Worcester Showdown, okay? The Worcester Showdown, and that's this Saturday. Now, there is a route that most people know by now, and I'm not going to mention too much because other people have done it. It's out there, so there's plenty of information. Just be there. As you say, stick together, like I always say, you go in as one and you come out as one. We stick together, yeah? Hopefully we won't see the events of what we saw the last time on July the 21st, where our demonstration was disrupted by, you know, the hostiles being... the Muslim Defence League, I think they call themselves, and of course these Marxist idiots out there, which did see a police liaison officer knocked unconscious, one of our lads, totally surrounded by a pack of hoarding mob, basically. As you know, the at one stage of this heated confrontation, as you might call it, there was a couple of them actually standing in the crowd, putting their fingers across their throats and behead them, shouting out behead them to Englishmen and English women. This is where we stand today. And the thing about it was that the police was totally unprepared for this to actually happen. They just lost control of the whole situation. Yeah, there was a couple of them. If you see the videos, there was a couple that was protecting our man who had a nasty gash above his eye, which had already been pummeled by this screaming horde. But he stood his ground, though. You know, there's something about the UDL. It's all done. Doesn't matter the dangerous confrontations we had towards. We never back away from nothing. Never. We stand the ground, and it was only the police actually giving a dispersal order that we, being a law-abiding people, took notice, and we dispersed. But we said we'll be back, and that's exactly what we'll be doing this Saturday. And we will be in a force, more of a force than what we was. We only had a small group. It was only supposed to be a regional demonstration. You know, you didn't expect thousands of people to turn up. That's regional. But this time, this is a national demonstration. And it's caught the attention of patriots right away across this country. Some old people, old faces that had left and said, no, we can't have this. We're coming back with you, you know. This comes out to lots of other groups out there. I'm not going to mention them, but there's quite a few that, when they see what had actually happened, everybody was livid that this, a peaceful demonstration was disrupted in that way. And of course, the way that the police acted, they acted in a definitely negative way towards us, leaving us into a very, very dangerous confrontational situation. They should have been well away from us. If there's going to be, they want a demonstration, then have it on the other side of where we're doing it. We don't want the confrontation. We just want to be seen and to be heard, and for of course, the people of Worcester. There was a lot of people there. And of course, you see that was in the press. People in the shops was disgusted that it was us that was getting the bad press, and it was the opposition that was causing the mayhem. It was EDL, fights break out, blah, blah, blah. It was nothing to do with us fighting with anybody. It was them attacking us. And, you know, we stand the ground, in a defensive posture, like our chap did. I mean, he stood his ground, and a very brave and courageous young man he was. So you know, the guy with the St. George's T-shirt on, and even after, with his blood streaming down his face, he even smiled at the camera and put a victory, the victory sign up there, So, it didn't faze this gentleman. I know he'll be back, like many others. But let me read this, my statement is for today. It's, welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, that's me, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And we should have really had here today, but unfortunately, a work situation, doesn't always allow it. Probably be better for Jan, maybe in a month or so's time. And of course, that's Jan and Tornado Rene. Dave Egner Milner. Well, Dave will be returning for the Sunday debriefing. We'll be discussing returning for Sunday's debriefing on the Saturday's national demonstration at Worcester. We expect a massive show of solidarity for the foot soldiers and angels and supporters of the cause, and many other patriotic groups will march and demonstrate with us. This time we will not be silenced or be given a dispersal notifications. We shall not be silenced. No surrender. No surrender ever. So there you go. That's the short sign today. I'm not sure how long I'll be here today. I'm going to see who's in the chat room, if we got anybody in at the moment. That's it's a little bit quiet on the home front there. So stay with me 1 second, guys. Right. So what I've got, actually, I've got a couple of stories that I want to relate with you guys, okay? So if you bear with me while I bring up what we got here. Where am I then? Let's have a look. Here you go. Right. now, this is the comes from the Worcester News, and I do smile because, as we all know, the Worcester News is a left wing rag paper, whatever you want to call it. And of course, it says the headline is counter protesters blast. Oh, just a moment. I'll just come back. Just bear with me one moment. Just bear with me. Yeah, it's okay. I thought I weren't live for a minute. I mean, I thought I was muted. What am I like? Just bear with me. Okay. Let me start. It's like this comes from the Worcester News, and it's counter-protesters blast police over Worcester EDL march. Counter-protesters have blasted the police for not allowing them to demonstrate in the city at the same time as the English Defence League, EDL. And once again, they use the same old thing. The far-right group will march from Angel Place to Cornmarket Car Park, Worcester, on Saturday, over plans to build a £3 million mosque in the city. Opponents had hoped to hold a peace protest, yeah, we know how that turns out, in Cornmarket Car Park to let EDL know that they are not welcome in the city. However, West Mercia police denied this request and instead said a counter demonstration could take place in Silver Street Car Park. There you go. Bear with me 1 second, guys. Oh, here you go. I've got it back. So, I lost the page for a second. It happens sometimes. A Worcester Trade Union Council spokesman said WTUC utterly condemn the decision of the police to effectively hand over our city centre to the, they're calling us thugs, visiting thugs of the EDL for an afternoon. Yeah, well, we know what a fuckish behaviour. It doesn't come from the EDL. We're a peaceful organisation. Council recalls that the EDL's most recent attempt to inject their hateful views into our streets commenced with their drunken, obscene and offensive chants about Islam. That's a total lie. Total lie. The police decision to facilitate the return of this organisation for an event that the EDL openly promote nationally as the Battle of Worcester is nothing short of astonishing, he said, goes on to say. The spokesman added, counter-protesters requested the Cornmarket as a venue for a rally for unity, which was aimed to show the widespread local support for peaceful diversity and to give the opportunity for trade unionists, members of political organisations, lovers of democracy, and members of all sections of our community to stand together in unity against the rising tide of far-right hate. The Cornmarket request was rejected by the police on grounds that the EDL had booked it first. Yeah, you go. Suck that up. WTUC acting as the facilitator of the counter-protester, a protest, considers this decision in favour of visiting thugs, yeah, to be a serious error and an insult to the citizens of Worcester. Council regards this mistake as now being compounded by today's police decision to push counter-protesters outside the old city and restrict members of the counter-protesters to those of Medill 250. This denies the possibility of showing how great is community opposition to the EDL, and simultaneously removes the democratic rights of protest within the centre itself. Council is currently talking legal advice. Council considers that the greatest danger to free speech is to let organisations such as the EDL establish and grow roots. We've had roots growing for almost a decade now. Being a part of this movement for all this time. If that happens, the only free speech, this is what he goes on to say, if that happens, the only free speech allowed will be in agreement with them. Council is sure that large numbers of the people opposed to the EDL will still be on the streets of Worcester on Saturday, so they still offering confrontation. Our council will continue in its search to find ways in which the scale and depth of discontent about the EDL march and rally can be expressed peacefully but effectively. Right. Let me see. Chief Superintendent Mark Travis of West Mercia Police said, "Police and partners have been working with all groups over the last month to maximise the safety for all concerned. Proportionate, sensible and equitable restrictions are therefore being put in place on all groups to ensure that peaceful protests can be undertaken. This decision was made after listening to the concerns raised by the local community. We are seeking to ensure the disruption to residents, businesses and visitors is minimised on the day." The police boss, just bear with me while I go down the page. The police boss emphasised that peaceful protests are a democratic right and said its officers will be there to prevent crime. Both Silver Street and Cornmarket car parks will be closed from 6 p.m. on Friday until the end of the demonstration around 5 p.m. on Saturday. There may also be some temporary road closures during the protests. The EDL march is expected to start at 1:30 on Saturday. And there you go. That's the they're really, really, they're not happy about it. They're not happy about it. They really ain't, like, you know, but never mind, you know, it's just the way it is. So hopefully we're going to have we will be heard this time. We won't be, hopefully we won't be attacked because there will be in forces more of that to deal with any sort of type of confrontation. We've got our own security team with us. We've got our own medics. As you noticed on their last demonstration on July the 21st, when a police officer was taken down by the Muslims and the Marxists, it's quite obvious that the police come under attack by those like the MDL, whatever you want to call them. This time, I hope they realise that the guy when the lady police liaison officer was knocked unconscious, it was one of our lads, one of our medics, that helped her, and another policeman that helped the lady into a shop doorway. And there is video evidence to prove that fact. So I'm not just saying willy nilly. that this was one of our lads. It wasn't one of the members of, standing around. No, this guy was there to help out, whatever. And see, these medics, if a medic sees someone down, whatever side it comes from, these guys will help. You know, that's what they're there for. It's, it might be a dangerous situation, but these guys are, well, what can you say? They're the salt of the earth and great people. So they will stand and go into a very, very confrontational situation to help in the best way they possibly can, because they have the medical training there. So there you go. That's that story. Now, let me come back into the to the chat. Let's see who's about, shall we? Let's see who's here. Is anybody out there? Well, there you go. We have got Colleton. Good afternoon, Colleton. Good to see you here today. I hope you're keeping well. Hope you can hear me okay. The same day when the bay... Yeah. It's funny, I was just going to start talking about that, Colleton. I'm ready to talk about that, and it should be quite amusing, shouldn't it? I hope Carl sees it as well. But I've got the story, and I will be talking about it in a second once I get the story up there. Good to see you. Yeah, that'll be flying over London this Saturday as well. So that should be interesting. In fact, I'll read up in a second. I just want to come back to the studio. But good to see you here, Colleton. Thanks for joining me today. Really appreciated to see you here, buddy. But let me see. What I might do, I might just play a tune and then we'll go into it. I'm just looking at the time. Because we're going to do the show for an hour and a half today, just to let our listeners know, what my plans are today. I might take a small break, about 25 minutes, just to recall back in. But that's what I would normally do anyway. But if you bear with me, ladies and gentlemen, Patriots across the country. Yeah, if you wanted to come, I would say get there early. Okay, get there early. Make sure you get there early, because it's what I said. Always make sure that you've got everything covered. Everything's covered, so I hope that you're up to speed. I'm not gonna mention nothing because I know there's a lot of them out there who lay on little ambushes or stragglers, and that's why I say you go in as one, you stay together as one. There's safety in numbers. That's the old saying. It always has been. You go in as one. And Charlie, do you mind? I'm talking to all my audience out there. And you're interrupting just to say that you know you're about. Just bear with me while I go down. I'm having a look to see what tunes that I've got here that I can play before I go into that one. But this is one that I think needs to be played. Let's play this one. Of course, this is by one of the great Alex and the Bandits, the Mighty EDL.
Marching, those casuals of the EDL, no surrender.
Yeah, sorry about that, buddy. I had myself on mute there. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. That happens now and again. Just when I was looking for something, and too much background thing. So anyway, here we go. Here's the story. I'm just going to copy it. And I'm now going to put it into the chat room. Just bear with me. And then I shall go ahead and read the story. It did make me smile, I've got to admit, this week, guys. So here we go. Here's the story. So, once again. And this comes from the Mail Online. Guys, this comes from the Mail Online. Okay, and they're saying, it's blimp war. Giant balloon of Mayor Sadiq Khan in a yellow bikini to be flown over London in protest at Trump baby, which depicted the president in a nappy during his visits to Britain. More than, listen to this, Collison, more than £58,000 has been raised to pay for the bikini-clad blimp of Mr. Khan. Organiser Yanni Brewer, 28, began a campaign in response to the Trump baby. The inflatable Mr. Khan will be flown above Parliament Square on Saturday. Let me continue with the story once I can. The story continues. He was accused of putting a dampener on President Donald Trump's visit to London last month by allowing a giant balloon of him dressed in a nappy to fly over the capital. It's disgraceful. But now Sadiq Khan is to face his own humiliation as protesters prepare to launch an inflatable showing the London mayor dressed in a bright yellow bikini. Organisers raised more than £58,000 online to pay for the blimp of Mr. Khan following the furore over the 20-foot balloon dubbed Trump Baby, which was granted permission to rise above Parliament Square during the United States President's visit last month. The inflatable depicting... It's so funny. Oh, it's brilliant. The inflatable depicting a bikini-clad Mr. Khan. And listen to this. Which is slightly larger than its rival at 29 foot, will be flown in the same Westminster location on Saturday morning. So it still gives some time to get over to our demonstration, doesn't it, guys? You want to go? Yanni Brewer, the 28-year-old marketing manager behind the effigy, said he had been angered by the mayor's focus on political point scoring instead of dealing with soaring crime. He said, "I was just so irritated that Mr. Khan took it upon himself to speak on behalf of the UK over the president's visit. Whatever anyone thinks of Mr. Trump, he is still the leader of the free world and should be accorded the respect of that position, especially at such a critical time for the UK as we face separation from the EU. It feels like the Mayor of London prioritises personal enmity over the good of the country. The design of the inflatable showing Mr. Khan dressed in a bikini pokes fun at one of his first decisions upon taking the office, where he banned adverts on the London Underground that promote an unhealthy body image. He took it upon himself." I mean, that's it. He took it on himself. Disgraceful. Okay, the story continues. Just bear with me. So I keep getting lots of pop-ups with this as well, as you probably come across, Collison, if you're following it. It followed the row over a billboard poster showing a woman in a bikini that asked, "Are you beach body ready?" Mr. Brewer said, it's ridiculous that he talks about the importance of freedom of speech when he gave permission for London to insult the President of the United States while imposing censorship of himself upon the lives of ordinary Londoners. He would have never given permission for that balloon if it ridiculed Barack Obama. It feels like freedom of speech only applies if you have views deemed acceptable by our governing bodies. Just bear with me while I go down the page. Right, just things pop up here. That's what I wanted to put to the test, as well as providing a voice for those in despair at the crime statistics in the capital since Khan took charge. But he couldn't really turn this down when he'd made such a big deal of Trump. Mr. Khan today made light of the inflatable depicting him. He told ITV News, if people want to spend their Saturday looking at me in a yellow bikini, they're welcome to do so. I don't really think yellow's my colour, though. Oh, never mind, eh? Ahead of Mr. Trump's visit, Mr. Khan defended his decision to allow the balloon of President, saying, I shouldn't be the arbiter as a politician of what's in good taste or bad taste. What's important is it to be peaceful and for it to be safe. And frankly speaking, the idea that we limit the rights to protest, we limit the rights of free speech because it may cause offence to a foreign leader is a very, very slippery slope. Yes, but you wouldn't have done that if it was Obama coming, would you, Mr. Khan? Mr. Khan added the UK, in fact, the US has a long and rich history of the rights and freedoms to protest, the freedom of speech, the freedom to assemble. Can you imagine if we limited freedom of speech because somebody's feelings might be hurt? And that, my friends, is that. So, let me come back into the studio. I've got other stories I want to relate to you as well. So, just to put things right, I'm back in the studio now. I will be. I'll go in a second. I'll play another tune, and I'm going to have a look for some more. Stories. Normally, I've got them all teed up and that. But as I say today, normally they're there, and I can just click on them. But I'm having to search through my Facebook our page where we put them all. So there you go. Let me see. I know. Let's play this one. This is. Here we go. It's a great one.
Come on, boy.
we will be coming down the road in Worcester this Saturday. So there you go. We certainly will be, and we will make our voices heard this Saturday. We won't be silenced. No way. Never again. We said this. One of our messages, one of our saints that the EDL put out there. Never again will this happen. The EDL will go and peacefully protest, assemble, and do our speeches like we always have done. You know, we're not going to be fobbed off and led into dangerous situations, which we saw the last time. Never again will that happen to ourselves. But anyway, I've got another story. I might have shared this last week, but bear with me, guys. So let's look into this story. I'll put it in the chat, by the way. I might have read it last week, but anyway, it's still good news, whatever. It seems like that Europe is definitely waking up. I've seen Germany's on the edge. Okay, Germany is teetering on the edge. There is literally thousands upon thousands I see the other day that was marching. For 2 days straight, they've done these marches because they just, what had happened is a young 35-year-old gentleman, actually, he was defending a young lady who's been harassed by these Muslims, refugees, whatever you want to call them. Anyway, he was standing, defending her, and he got stabbed to death 25 times. He got stabbed, and unfortunately, it wasn't quick enough to save him in the hospital, and he lost his life. Well, that's, you know, this has been teetering for ages in Germany. You know, but it's really, Merkel's got blood on her hands, definitely blood, big time. She's got rapes, she's got rape jihadi gangs, and it's roaming, doing absolute horrific things to these citizens of Germany. And wherever they go, they turn it into a shithole, ladies and gentlemen. You know it. You know what they're like. That's what I'm saying. There's no way they want to adjust to us, the way our way we do things. They want to bring about their caliphate one way or the other. But we're not going to put up with it. That's what I'm saying. It's coming to the whole of Europe. I mean, look what's going on in Italy. Look what's going on in Spain. It's all over. You know, the Eastern Bloc, or used to call them the Eastern Bloc countries, places like Poland, Czechoslovakia. No, we're not going to take none of it. You know, the EU's pestering them to take in more refugees. And it's not. No, we're not. We refuse. We see what's going on. We see what's going on in the UK. We see what's going on in France. If you look at Paris now, it used to be a place, ladies and gentlemen, that you'd like to take your wife or your girlfriend, your fiancé, to a romantic setting in Paris, you know, the Eiffel Tower. It's just, they turned the place, this beautiful place, France, world renowned for its beauty, into something which wouldn't look out of place in Calcutta or some third world country. Really looks like it. And it's getting that way in the United Kingdom as well. But we, like the rest of the people, it's so far that you can push the citizens of this country to a breaking point. I think they really, really are pushing it. Maybe, you know, we'll see how things turn out. But, and of course, this could be a rather defining point this Saturday, because they put it down to the Worcester, the Battle of Britain, weather and all that. But we'll see. I don't know. I think this time, I think the police know that this could really get out of hand very quickly, and I got a feeling that the opposition won't be be there to do what they did before, because the numbers are totally stronger from the outside. But anyway, let me continue, because I'm going to take a break soon. Austria to close 7 mosques and deport imams in a crackdown on political Islam. Coalition government says, yeah, I did read this last week, but anyway, it's one of those stories that is people are waking up. It's just the beginning. As Turkey brands policy Islamophobia. I did read this last week. It's a good, fun story. Austria plans to shut 7 mosques and expel dozens of imams in what politicians have described as a crackdown on political Islam. The country's coalition, formed of conservative and far-right figures, said the measures were just the beginning of a push against radical Islam and foreign funding of religious groups. Chancellor Sebastian Kurz said authorities would shut what was described as a hardline Turkish nationalist mosque in Vienna, and also dissolve a group called the Arab Religious Community. Political Islam's parallel societies and radicalising tendencies have no place in our country, said Mr. Kurz, who rose to power last year after his People's Party formed a coalition with the Anti-Migrant Freedom Party. The measures, you might, that's a bit noisy. I've got my little air conditioning unit going here, which just keeps me cool when I'm doing these shows. But I just had to turn it, I was getting too cold. It's so good. party. Anyway, the measures are being carried out under the premise of Austria's Law on Islam legislation, introduced in 2015, banning the foreign funding of religious groups. Action follows controversy in April when photographs emerged of children dressed in military fatigues, taking part in the reenactment of the First World War Battle of Gallipoli at a Vienna mosque. Austria, a country close to 9 million people, is home to a 600,000-strong Muslim community. Most of them are either born in Turkey or are of Turkish descent. Ibrahim Kalin, spokesman for the Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, described the new policy as Islamophobic, racist, and discriminatory wave in Austria. So it's the word that they love to use, Islamophobic. What about Christophobic? What about Francophobic and things like that? And, you know, Judophobic, because that's what we see. They discriminate, these people discriminate against all of us, don't they? Racist and discriminatory wave in Austria. The Austrian government, government's ideologically charged practices are in violation of universal legal principles, social integration policies, minority rights, and the ethics of coexistence, he tweeted. Austrian authorities will review the visas of around 40 imams employed by the Turkish Islamic Union for Cultural and Social Cooperation in Australia, ATIB, a group with close ties to the Turkish government. The government also revealed it had been had already revoked visas from 2 imams, while 5 more had been refused the first-time permits. ATIB spokesman Yasser Erzoy acknowledged that its imams were paid by Diyanet, the Turkish state religious authority, but said the organisation was trying to change that. We are currently working on having imams be paid from funds within the country, told OAuth Radio. The government plans to shut down one organisation that runs a mosque in Vienna and is influenced by a Turkish nationalist youth group, the Grey Wolves, as well as the Arab Muslim group that runs at least 6 mosques. I think that could be. There you go. That's the end of that story. Let me come back in. Just going to look down and see some stories that I can share for the second part of the show. there with me when I'm going down here. Well, I've got a story, but it might be a bit old. But never mind. I'll do that second half of the show. Terry in Spain, Barcelona can shoot that old year in Northern, shouting Allah Akbar. So yeah, we'll do this when I come back to the second part of the show. So what I'll do is I come back into the studio, bear with me, and then I'm going to choose a tune, and then I'll go for a quick break, and I'll be back for the next hour. I think it's about an hour I've got left. I've got 30 minutes left of the show. So just bear with me while I have a look for my tune. Normally, because I'm not... See, what it is, I like to put some tunes now and again, simply because I have normally someone to talk to. let me see. Here's one that we go with another one of my buddy's tunes, because he's got a new band out now. This is Alex and the Bandits, We Must Resist. I'm going to take a break then. Here we go.
News of the world said we are hooligans. We're the only people to defend your rights. And I won't stand by and watch this country die. So roll Britannia with the EDL. Go, man!
And the Bandits, We Must Resist. And I think that makes a lot of sense as well, doesn't it? But let me just come to the chat room for a second. And as I say, my friend in the chat room has a few things he's been in talk about. I'm sorry, I didn't see it early because I was just checking other things I was going to do for the remainder of the show. Colton says, it's good to know some nations are taking actions against the threats Islam presents. We should be scared when even nations themselves are scared into not doing anything that could potentially provoke an Islamic response. So that is the problem. I would agree with you there. Sometimes you put yourself, the government's put itself in this position. I say this, because if they put themselves in this position, then they should but man up and take responsibility. And if it means you say things that's going to upset them, then if there's response by these people, then you must, you know, meet it face to face. You must confront it. Instead of running away and pretending and trying to appease these people, you cannot appease these people. People have been appeasing these people for many, many centuries. It gets you nowhere. It gets you being defeated. That's what happens. It gets you a country becoming Islamified, which we're seeing across Europe. It goes on to say, even the Nazis themselves didn't implement the level of fear into countries that Islam does. For example, when Jesuit Charlie happened, yes, we'll never forget that, our media still didn't show the image of their prophet because they were scared, while other nations did. Shocking. It also goes on to say, thank you, Colleton. It's great to have a conversation with you in the chat room there, brother. Enoch Powell was right in a way. There will be rivers of blood soon. Well, there is rivers of blood already on the streets. I think we know that. There's a lot of blood that's been shed over the years since the inception of this of Islam in our country, the way that the politicians have facilitated this cult, this evil death cult of theirs. He also got something to say, your parrot must be left-wing. He won't let you get a word in. Well, it's got probably sad to do it, but it's because she's a female parrot, and you know what females are. My apologies to the ladies out there. I'm gonna be bombarded with emails. How dare you? But I'm saying that she's a female, and females chat a little bit. Colin, where have I put myself now, mate? I'll be in trouble. I'll be getting all the hate emails coming through. You know, but so what? I've got big shoulders. Well, so. Let me come back and thank you, Colton, for what you've expressed in there, brother. Where was I up to? Yeah, there you go. This is a story I want to share with you guys. This comes from Politikalit. You know I'm talking about it, you guys. I'm just going to copy that and I'm going to come back into the chat room and post it in the chat, and then we shall read the story. So here we go. Just bear with me. I'll see you've made a comment there. Let's post it. There you go. I will be shocked if you don't get any emails. Thank you, Colleton. Thank you. Well, you know, so be it. You know, it's a shame that we can't say things without these days. Sensitivities, this, that, and the other. Come on, mate. I come from a time where, you know, we like winding each other up. It's a thing that we've always done, isn't it, pal? You know. But anyway, there's a story I'm going to share with you. You probably won't see when it come out. Well, this is a few days ago, but I think it's only right that we share, because this is what's happening in our countries. Terror in Spain, Barcelona police shoot dead Algerian knifeman shouting Allah Akbar. A man armed with a knife shouting Allah Akbar was shot dead in Barcelona this morning. That was a few days ago, but, you know, it's quite contrary to what we see every day here, there, and the other places across Europe. RTVE reported that a knifeman was shot down as he tried to attack a local police station with the objective of attacking the agents. And the cry of Allah is great, police sources said. According to sources close to the case, the events occurred at 5:52. That was Spanish time, guys. The man entered the police station and shouted, Allah Akbar, well, you know that's Allah's great, with a knife in his hand, so the police officer shot him. I think we see the pictures, didn't we? According to the sources, the attacker is a native of Algeria. Well. Police later confirmed he was shot dead, and the incident is being treated as a terror attack. And it says that this is a developing story. So, excuse me, I've got hiccups now. So let me come back there. Of course, it's not going on over it. What's going on there? But there you go. That's the story. Colleton goes on to say, 100% behind free speech. I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. That's so true, isn't it, Colleton? It is. That's right. We defend the right for freedom of speech, and we will defend the right to death to defend it. And that is a really positive way that we should look at things. Unfortunately, it's a one-way street these days. We are continually attacked, and we really, truthfully, being patriots, you become classed as, I don't know, racist, a bigot, Islamophobe, because you love your country. You're saddened with what's going on. I mean, across this country now, and it was actually stated a couple of times that so there's over a million young girls and boys even that have been groomed and raped over the years. So you're talking of a figure that is astronomical, really, isn't it? It's on such a scale. And it is, it seems to be everywhere that it's affecting the people in this country. And, you know, if you can't, I mean, the trouble is the councils are so corrupt. You've got to agree, Colin, and you look across the country, it's all corrupt and run by leftists or Muslims or whatever. And no wonder we get these cover-ups with what's going on. It goes, the thing about the English Defence League is we've always known that these problems have existed for, you know, 9 years, going to 10 years, you know, we've known. This is why we go to these places, we highlight these issues, because it's important that the people within these communities understand that their voices, you know, maybe the police ignore them and tell them we're investigating, we're looking into it, and send the kids away. And we've heard that. How many times have we heard that, Colin, over the years? How many times when we've been at Rotherham, the women that was coming up to us and, you know, speaking to some of our ladies, our angels, were saying that it's just not them, that now their daughters are being groomed and passed around and all this horrific things that we hear from these groups. But the police and everybody within, you know, the councils, the children's homes, etc. We've heard stories of them actually having cabs taking these kids to meet those people. They've got to be named and shamed, and they've got to lose their job. Anybody that plays a part in the innocence of kids being abused need not to have any sort of job, work with children whatsoever. We know how bad it is in government. The government of this country, and it's been said before, is run, the whole of the government, every part of it is satanic paedophiles around. So this is really, really where we're at against the darkness of how bad things are. But you know what? I believe, like the EDL, like a lot of us believe, that we're not going to just stand by and see the rape of our country without standing up and defending. We've got a right to defend our country. This is our country. We go back generations. My family goes back hundreds of years. I'll be buggered if I'm going to let foreigners or these hostiles come to my country, take my country over, and I'm going to just sit back and watch what happens of the destruction of our beautiful country. We will fight and we will defend it. If it comes to that, every man and every woman out there will defend these sacred isles of ours. That is it. That's it, and protect our children at all costs. Colleton goes on to say, do you think people act like they have restricted speech because they think if they don't, another group like the Nazis will rise up? They think that if the Nazis and Hitler were banned from holding rallies and speeches, the Holocaust could be been avoided. That's a very good point you make there. One of my ancestors came over with William the Conqueror. Oh my goodness me, man, you go back in time, didn't you? And my family been here for hundreds of years, and bless you, Carleton, like myself, you know. Well, my family tree, I know, it goes back to about 1242, 43, something like that. In fact, my name Mitchell, I mean, it actually goes back right from the beginning, from Glasgow, actually. My closest relatives was Scottish. So there you go. Just goes to show you, doesn't it, buddy? It's good to see another person like myself with a lot of history on these sacred isles of ours. And it's worth defending, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? That's why we do as we do. We know we go into dangerous situations. We know that that's the case. We've been doing this for many years, and we've been in all sorts of difficult situations, but it doesn't stop us doing what we do, because we know it's right. It's the right thing to do. Whatever they want to call us, they call us knuckle draggers, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. Well, most of us are just working class guys that are fed up with the total disregard of what we've got to say about things, and they just ignore the plight of the working class people in this country. That is the sad thing about it, and of course that goes to our children as well. You know, working class children, you know, it's terrible, really, when you think about it. But we're here. So anyway, it's like we're starting to wind down the show. But Colin, once again, I've got to thank you for joining me today in the chat room, and great, some of the things that, as you said, that do you think people act like they have to restrict the strictness because they think it could turn to another group like the Nazis. Well, the Nazis was something that we've always opposed. I mean, don't forget, Tommy Robinson, at the time, when it was the inception of the EDL, basically, when, you know, they was in a garage set up on that, and they burnt the swastika, just to prove a point that we're against Nazis. We always have been. We were against the far right. I mean, you know, it sickens us, because our generation, my generation, my ancestors fought you know, the Nazis. And so why would we associate ourselves with people that have got that sort of mindset, this ideology? No, we're totally against that. We are who we are. We are the English Defence League. And I'm very proud of the organisation. There's a lot of work that's done in the background by a lot of the team. Also, I've got to give a big shout out to the media team with Keith and the lads and the lasses that work absolutely brilliantly, you know what I mean, to help us with different statements, the mission statements got to be put out, this, that and the other. They're a great team. Unfortunately, one of the team will be departing. That would be Keith at the end of 2018. And he'll be sadly missed. He's put a lot of work in over the years. And as I say, he'll be sadly missed by us all. So Keith, he's a good man, good heart, a true patriot. Let's see. Colin says, like if you've seen someone on go around saying, kill all disabled people, mouth them up, etc. You want that person to be arrested, etc. A tough one. If I heard someone saying, kill all disabled people, put it this way, probably come to violence because I'm disabled myself. And so is a lot of people that's involved with the EDL. So that is disgraceful. Anybody that says anything like that, I think it's they need a quiet chat to. That's all I say because I don't want to get myself in any sort of trouble. But Collerton, if you know the type of person I am, I do not tolerate these people. I never have. And I never will. But I know there are. There's some evil bastards out there, isn't there, Colin? You got to agree, there's some horrible people. Should we defend his right to say it to stop a potential problem? I mean, for saying something like that, kill all disabled people, I think that goes against human right, human dignity and everything. I think it's a sick thing for anybody to say. And I think he should be condemned for it, big time. I'd rebuttal him. I mean, I like to rebuttal him, but at the same time, if they kept pushing it, I mean, I might end up losing my temper myself. You're right. People got a right to say these things, but it's hard to swallow. And, of course, we don't cover ourselves like with the First Amendment, you know, right to say this or that and defend it by... like America's got the Constitution. But it's just not the right thing to say, is it, you know? So I do take your point there, but I do find it, and I don't know how you feel, Colleton, but if someone said that and I was close by, I think we would be having a few words. I don't know how you feel about it, but myself personally, I don't think I would take that too kindly, because... it's disgraceful to say anything like that about disabled people, isn't it, you know? So I just like to think of. But no, Colin, I've got to admit, buddy, it's been awesome that you've been here with me this afternoon in the chat, and it's nice to have these conversations, with yourself and... as I say, it's really quite early this time of day for a lot of people, but I'm glad that you're here, and I hope you enjoy the shows and being here with myself, and we'll have the team back this Sunday. But anyway, just for talking about what's going on this weekend, we got the Worcester demonstration, which is really on the countdown now, isn't it? You know, time is ticking. We're really, really close to everybody assembling. And all I will tell people is just look out for one another. Just be loud, be proud, be who you are. And we stand as growing as one, we come out as one. Let's not see any stragglers, any of our people way behind and having these, because you know there's little groups of them that they wait for ambushes, things like that. You know how it goes. Let's not see anything like that happen. But once again, I've got to thank our audience out there, wherever you might be. I know people listen to us in Malaysia. We've got 1.6% of people listen to us in Malaysia. I think we've got people listen to us in Bulgaria and United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. It's just great about a radio show, isn't it, that we do reach out to a lot of people. And we will, as I said, we'll be back again. I'll be following. I can't do the demonstration because I've got serious health issues. So I just can't do it. But I will be very close by. I'll be following live feeds that's coming through from Worcester, and I will be keeping us all informed on the pages, the Facebook pages. If you go to my page, I'll be running it there. I'll be running it on the East Anglian TEL blog radio show page. Wherever the information is coming out from, we'll be running it. So anyway, I'm down to 4 minutes and 37 seconds. So I've got to thank Colleton for being in the chat room this afternoon. And to everybody else associated with the English Defence League. As I say, foot soldiers, angels, patriots, wherever you might be, wherever, thank you so much for being joining us for this Saturday. Make sure you get there a little bit earlier, guys. You know, maybe, I don't know, you stay overnight or something, get there a bit day earlier, you know, sort of thing. So you won't miss out on anything at all. So with that, for myself, Jeff Spider Mitchell, be returning again this Sunday with a debriefing of how things went on Saturday. And also we will be discussing the blimp that was going to be flying on Saturday morning. So anyway, for myself and for the team and for you, Colleton, no surrender. No surrender ever. And with that, we've got to go underground. Cheers, Colleton. Thank you, buddy.
Some people might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy with what I got. People might say
you.
That I should strive for more. I'm so happy, I can't see the point things happening.
Oh, thanks, Colleton.
A show of strength with
that's
your
really, really nice.
I'm
thank you very
so
much,
happy you're so
okay,
fine. You're one more.
Great day. How about now? What's the,
pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough for any of my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging through your facts. See, here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader to place your trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets. La la la.
there you go, and I'm still running live, and about 39 seconds, 36 seconds left to go. So once again, thank you for joining us today on the English Defence League radio show with myself, Jeff Spider-Mitchell, and of course, Charlie, my wingman, and Blue, my upper wingmen, or wingbirds, sitting either side of me today. So, and down to 10, 9, we're almost out of live air. So, goodbye, guys. See you soon. So, there you go. That's the live part of the show is over. Once again, I've got to thank Colleton, who joined me in the chat room, who was having a great conversation with a great gentleman who joined me today. But so we'll be back again Sunday. That'll be Sunday 9 o'clock my time. With Sunday, we'll be joined by Dave Milner. Will be joining us back from his holiday, his vacation. And with that, we've got Leslie Ann Stovall should be joining as well. So there you go. So once again, we'll be back, the team. We'll be back together to be talking about the debriefing for Saturday's Worcester demonstration. So once again, have a great few days. And if you're going to put soldiers and angels and other patriots out there, wherever it might be you're coming from, you stay safe, safe journey, and have a great demonstration. God bless you all, and no surrender ever. This is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for today, but we'll be back again this Sunday. God bless you all, no surrender ever.